Good morning. Can you remember the best Christmas present you ever received as a child? I remember the G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip and the Bionic Man. And then there was the Johnny Lightning racetrack set. And the list goes on and on. It's during this time of year that we buy gifts for family and friends. And it's when we recall the presents we received as kids, as well as all the excitement that's associated with receiving gifts, the excitement that goes with gift giving. But on this Lord's Day, I want to remind us that the greatest gift of all will not be found under a Christmas tree. It cannot be purchased by you or I. The greatest gift of all that any of us can receive was born in a little town called Bethlehem. The reason we have Christmas in the first place is because of this gift. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Just one verse, a small passage with profound meaning. Romans chapter 6, one verse, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. There you will find these words: "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let's pray. O precious Prince of Peace, we thank you for coming to us. We ask that you give us ears to hear, hearts ready to receive, feet ready to move into action, and minds stayed on you. We believe that as your word goes forth, that it will not return unto you void. Accomplish your work in us as we accept your word with gladness and apply it to our very lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The greatest gift of all. If you have your note-taking inserts, I have I ask that you would please write down these four questions that we'll answer this morning. Four questions we will answer this morning. Why has the gift been given? Why has the gift been given? What does the gift entail? What does the gift entail? Who is the gift for? And how do I receive such a wonderful gift? Why has the gift been given? What does the gift entail? Who is the gift for? And how do I receive such a wonderful gift. Why has the gift been given? In general, you know, we give gifts to celebrate things. In general, we give gifts to celebrate a milestone or some type of achievement. We give gifts to celebrate anniversaries. We give gifts to celebrate birthdays, graduations, things of that nature. But as we look at this text, we recognize something. And I don't know, it may seem somewhat strange. Maybe, maybe not. That we would talk about this subject on this day, when we celebrate the Savior's birth. But I think it's keeping with the subject matter to talk about sin. We needed a Savior. And we recognize that our sins are certainly not something that we, as believers, should celebrate. Why? Sin affects all of us. Here in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it tells us that all have sinned, have fallen short of the glory of God. We've missed the mark, all of us. But what's wrong with sin? Well, sin separates us from God. To be clear, and we look at the text in verse 23, the first part of verse 23, it says the wages or the payment or the penalty, the cost of our sin, which we all are guilty of, is death. This death points to being separated from God forever. It's dying without God. Here in this particular portion of Scripture, in chapter 6, Paul is talking about the freedom that we have in Christ, the new relationship we have in regards to God and sin. His intent here is to help us see the reality of sanctification and justification in the life of the believer. You see, when we're saved, when we've been redeemed, when we've been made right with God, there is another side of it where we are to live holy lives. In the first 14 verses of this sixth chapter, Paul reminds us that we're united. He's talking to believers. He reminds them that we're united in Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. And thus we have died to sin, risen to walk in a newness of life. The second half of this sixth chapter says basically the same thing, but just from a different perspective, because the bottom line is that a truly regenerated person cannot go on in the same pattern of sinning that was characteristic of his or her life before they were saved. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, God forbid. We all have this sin problem. And this answers the question why the gift has been given. When we read the record of Jesus' birth in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23, he says, now the birth of Jesus was as follows. When his mother Mary had had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. The gift has been given not because we've done something so good, not because we have something to celebrate. The sin is the problem, but the gift was given out of God's love. Because of God's love for you and I, he gave out of his love for us. How do I know? Well, John 3:16 tells us. You've heard of that before. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The same God who loves us has come to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The giving of the gift is rooted in the love of God. The gift has been given because we could not purchase it on our own. God has come to us in the person of Jesus Christ with the sole purpose to save us from our sins. So we see why the gift has been given. But what does the gift entail? From the text here in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, we understand that the wages or the payment or the penalty of sin, he says, is death. But then he uses a conjunction. He uses the conjunction but. And that tells me what is about to be said carries more weight than what was just said. So what carries more weight than the wages of sin being death? The free gift of God. What does it entail? Well, he says it's the free gift of God. It's free to remind us that we can't buy it. We can't purchase it. Actually, it highlights the fact that the gift has already been purchased. This free gift of God, he says, is eternal life. Compared to the wages of sin, which is eternal separation from God, the greatest gift of all is the free gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, Christ Jesus our Lord, he's the gift. The gift entails good news. The gift entails abundant life. In Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, he says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" And over in John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." This is Jesus speaking. He says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So who is this gift for? By now you clearly understand that the greatest gift of all is the gift of salvation. The greatest gift of all has already been purchased by Jesus Christ for you and I. God has given us the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Make no mistake about it, the gift is for you. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 declares it. "You shall call him," or call his name, "Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." You see, when we speak of his birth, we must also speak of his purpose. He was born to die. And it reminds me of the words of the song, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." It says, "Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings. Risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king." And he goes on and says, the words say, "Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king." Jesus came into this world in Bethlehem to redeem us from our sins. The gospel message is clear. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. So the gift has been given because we could not purchase it for ourselves. The gift has been given because of God's love for us, given to save us from our sins. The greatest gift of all entails the gift of salvation. It's the good news that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. The greatest gift of all is for you and I. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, reminds us clearly that, and there is salvation in no one else. That means no one else. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Since I can't purchase this gift, and this gift will never be found under a Christmas tree, how do I receive such a wonderful gift? Well, the good part is that you don't have to wait till Christmas. The gift is for all of us. Some of us have received it and will not forget the day when we first got it. Some of us are still waiting to receive the greatest gift of all. I encourage you not to put off for tomorrow what you can do today. Hebrews 3:15 reminds us, he says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. You see, you can receive the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ today. Acts chapter 16, verse 31, it says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You receive God's free gift of salvation in the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures. It's not what you've done. It's trusting in what Jesus has already done. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. God offers to you the greatest gift you could ever have today in Jesus Christ. It is the reason why we celebrate this time of year, because we recognize the fact that he is that greatest gift. recognize the fact that he came because he loved us. He came because we could not purchase the gift ourselves. He came because to save us from our sins. The greatest gift one could ever have is yours today. Would you turn down this gift from God? It's decision time. Time to make Jesus your choice. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your gift of salvation, the love you've shown for us in sending your Son, who died for our sins according to the Scriptures, who was buried and rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. In light of recognizing your gift of salvation as only seen in your Son, may we embrace your love. May we embrace your joy, hope, and peace this season.